This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
There's a rumor going around.
Love rumors. What do you got?
That Michigan will be the next to major university to go online only because of coronavirus.
Oh, like Ohio. Just following Ohio State's lead?
Yeah, I guess. Harvard's. Because Harvard did it too, so I'm sure they're following Harvard's lead.
Like Ohio State may have done it first.
They were waiting to hear what Harvard would do. They're also probably endorsing canceling the conference tournament because that's what the Ivy League did. No, honest to God, I mean, this is just the reality of where we, the world we're in right now. Man, wouldn't be a huge shock. All right, so before the break there, we were talking about the Players Association, NFL. NFL players are going to vote this week. It was supposed to be a deadline of Thursday. They moved it to Saturday. Are they going to play one more year under the old CBA, and then would they ratify a new one? Rumors that some players now want to change their votes. I don't know what to say other than I just want my football, and I think most people just want their football. This is a 10-year deal, and the idea that there'd be no threat of a work stoppage for 10 years, I don't even know if that's possible. I suppose players could still strike. But Kang, you've always been pretty adamant. You think it will get ratified. You think the players will vote yes?
Yeah, it's always when you vote for things, it's a numbers game, and the numbers I just think are in their favor. You read off the number of 65% of the players made a minimum salary last year. Well, that's already over 50% of what, you know, that would win the vote to approve the CBA. I think there's just enough of those players where they don't want to miss a year of checks, you know, even though the NFLPA says, hey, we've got enough in reserve to take care of you guys, but this could last longer than a year. I think those guys are fearful of that. They know their careers are short already, and they think the fact that they're getting a raise already is good enough for now. My issue is, with the Players Association, listen, first of all, I'm rooting for the players, actually. I think they deserve a lot more than what they get, and I think they should hold out if need be. I still think it will pass because I think it's a numbers game, and enough guys will vote that way. Why can't they satisfy both the stars and the regular guy in the league? That's the point of the negotiation. They should get rid of the franchise tag. Their transition tag should be no longer. The restricted free agents, they need to get rid of that stuff or make guaranteed contracts. These are the things that they should be fighting for everyone, because if you're a minimum player, some of these guys know where they're at in their career. I get it. They'll never be a superstar. But there's also a lot of those guys who think, one day I want to be Aaron Rodgers. I want to be Richard Sherman. And when you get to that point, you want a, you know, limitless type of contract, and the NFL restricts you tremendously. So let's try to make, don't divide the union. Let's all stick together. Hey, we're not getting what we want. That's all right. We'll hold out too until we all get what we want. You know what I mean? Stop dividing. The owners are doing the right thing. They're dividing the players. Hey, it's a numbers game. We'll make these guys happy. We'll win the vote.
They are. It's smart if you're the owners,
yeah,
right?
I get it.
We are going to appeal to the lower paid majority. Why can't you do it for all? Well, the owners are certain things that they probably won't budge on. What they are budging on is minimum salary. They're budging on percent of the salary cap you get. I think it's a really difficult thing for one group, in this case a union, and having been a part of several unions in my career, I think it's really difficult for a union to represent people with vastly different incomes and interests. People with kids have different interests than people that don't have kids. People who, there are going to be some people at all jobs that make minimum wage and others that are pulling in big money. And those people are going to have really different interests from insurance to other, to time off.
Absolutely. We're all different. We're all thinking about different things. We're all kind of selfish in our own ways. But if we stick together as a union and care about each other, they can win this thing, as any union could, if they could stay strong together.
I'm not sure they can, Kang, and here's why. Because sticking together to win this thing, how many players have other forms of income that they can live off of? Every owner does. How many players do?
The owners are greedy. They're going to want football back. They're not going to want to sit this out forever.
They're not going to want to, but they don't have to.
No,
and
they
I
don't
think
have to.
The bulk of the players have to.
Even if they sat football. Out a year, they have enough in reserves to pay these players for a year. Let's see how everyone reacts after a year of no football, owners and players. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is the reason why unions go on strike. You know, no one wants to go on strike. No one wants a work stoppage. But sometimes you get to a point where, hey, this is what we have to do to get what we want. You know what? I still think it's going to pass. But if they want to really stick together, they can get something from the owners. They're getting smoking weed. You know what I mean? Like, hey, for 17 games, we'll let you do drugs. All right.
Or coke.
That's not enough if you ask me. But I'm not a player. I'm not in the union. I'm just giving my opinion
from
the outside.
I think you're being somewhat dismissive of a 20% raise for 65% of the players.
But also,
but it comes with playing an extra game.
Yes. And
okay,
also,
but that's doing 1/17th of the work and getting 20%, getting, you know, one.
Yeah, but it comes again. It's okay, raise. We'll do it. But if you're the owners, you're saying.
Okay, but. Think about it. They're asking them to do 1/17th more,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting 1/5 more in money.
Yes. No, I get that there's a benefit to them when it comes to the money.
I mean, they may not want to do it.
But here's the problem I have with everything about this is that the owners have been operating at such an advantage for eternity in this whole situation. And the players have been playing catch up. And for the players to continue to play catch up, they have to keep giving up more things to get better benefits. Okay, hey, we're going to get paid more, going to get a nice pay raise, the 20% raise playing 1/17th, but you're still having to play that extra game. It's always about winning, and the owners want to win, and they want to maintain the advantage, and they're not going to give up that advantage, and the players are always going to be at the disadvantage, and it sucks for them.
I want to make one thing clear here, too. I am arguing the other side here because I know in a negotiation, there's give and take, and I'm taking up the other side. If I were in charge of the players' union, I would have told the players over the last couple of years, start war chesting, start diversifying. I don't know that enough took the advice. I heard one player who was a player rep say that they held a teleconference so everybody could come onto this conference call and talk about this proposal. And it was like eight guys from a roster got on the teleconference. That doesn't help. That doesn't help because it makes me feel like the players are weakening their own position. Like, you know, if I were an owner and I heard that, I'd be like, nah. eight guys on a teleconference for an entire team.
Yeah, well, it's sad that they're not, if that's the case, they're not taking it seriously enough, and now you get into the situation where they've got to ratify a contract agreement, and they're not sure if they're going to because they are divided. And you're right. That's what the owners want. They want a divided
want
unit, right?
Conquer, yeah.
Because what it comes down to, it's all about winning and who gets to win. If the owners just want to win, and it makes them look like evil empire, right? Because they're the guy, yes, we'll break you, yes. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be, let's come up with something that benefits both of us and we can keep moving on and we can both smile about it when we leave the negotiating table.
That's why the NFLPA
needs, but they're not going to.
They need to look at the whole, hey, we're doing this. This is great for the majority of the league. Let's do this great for the entire players' league. You know what I mean? That's what they should be going after. And by the way, although it's great for the minimum salary player, the practice squad guy is getting screwed in this new deal, by the way. They can't get out of it. They're stuck with their team. They can't negotiate a new contract with a new team. So there are other things that aren't working for all the players that aren't great, superstars in the league.
It makes, like we talked about this before, it makes no sense why you limit the roster on game day. You have six guys sit out. You always have the inactive list. And I don't know what purpose that serves.
Why do you think that the owners only care about looking like they won? I think the only thing they care about
is money. That's how they're acting.
I haven't seen any evidence that they're like just looking for a PR win. I think the owners are only looking for money.
That's to them. That's it. They're one and the same.
Well, I guess I see. I don't think they're one and the same. I think you could go for a PR win and give up a lot in terms of money.
What they're looking for the win. I say they're looking for the win. It is money.
Okay,
that's what they're looking for.
I misinterpreted what you said. I don't see any of the yes, we're going to break you. I just think they're trying to. Well, I just think they're trying to
read between the lines. What do you think this whole negotiation is?
I think the negotiation was to negotiate to the bulk of the players to get what they want and give the bulk of the players something that would be significant to them. But at the end of the day, I haven't seen sort of any rubbing it in the face or PR moves.
I'm not saying there's rubbing in their face, but I think behind the scenes, I think they're doing some of that. And if the whole discussion of a 17th game is about one thing and one thing only.
Yeah.
Money.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. And it's about the owner, because the owners get more money too. Okay.
And they're trying to. I completely misinterpreted the whole thing you were saying. I apologize, because I thought you were saying there's some sort of PR battle that they're
winning. No PR battle. No. Seen a lot of Twitter action. People upset about the Ivy League canceling the tournament.
I saw this. And,
like, what a travesty it is. Dartmouth doesn't have a chance now. Poor Cornell or Columbia, they just don't have the opportunity to make it to the tournament now. They have two teams that are maybe even possibly worth a crap in that league, and only two teams.
Which are Yale and who?
Harvard.
Okay, because this kid Bryce Aiken from Harvard, who they don't get the bid now. The Ivy League has canceled the tournament due to the coronavirus, and Yale, which won the regular season title, will get the Ivy League bid to the NCAA tournament. Bryce Aiken, who plays for Harvard, and they're right there. Horrible, horrible, horrible decision and total disregard for the players and teams that have put their hearts into this season. This is wrong on so many levels, and the Ivy League should do its due diligence to find a better solution. Everyone knows the risks of playing.
Yeah, well, should have won the regular season then, huh?
Well, I mean, look, it's, I guess, but if the regular season wasn't the focus of the team because the automatic bid goes to the...
I know, and I think you and I are on the same page of this, kind of.
Which is what?
I mean, the regular season should mean something.
The regular season should be who gets the automatic bid. Then there'd be no point having the tournament, but...
I don't know why. We don't need to have tournaments.
We don't. They're just... The weirdest thing, and I had a boss point this out to me after going to the Big Ten tournament for a bunch of years, and he pointed out to me that the Big Ten tournament championship game starts at like 2:30 or 3 o'clock or 3:30. Whatever it is, it ends at 5:30, and the bids go out at 6. And you come driving back from Indianapolis, sit down in the chair on Monday, and do you talk at all about the Big Ten tournament championship? Almost none at all, because all anybody cares about are the brackets. It's nice in that it lets a bubble team earn their way in, I guess, or it gives the real Cinderella a chance when there's a team that wasn't going to go that wins their conference tournament, and it's exciting for them. And maybe that's the way it would make sense for smaller conferences, but I don't know. I find them to be, and my boss was right, there's no buzz created by the Big Ten tournament. There is for the half an hour after it's over for the team that wins it.
Well, you know, I jokingly call some of these conferences the crap conferences, but I think what the joke to me is that a team that wins that conference championship during the course of the regular season, they should be able to celebrate it and feel like they won something. Instead, okay, now that you did that, now we got a conference a tournament to play.
Go get hot
to
four
see
days.
Who gets to play in the next one. What the hell did I bust my ass for playing in the regular season then? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
248-539-9797. All right, we've been talking about the collective bargaining agreement that the players are voting on right now. And by the way, Kang, you're going to stay. I don't even know if we got you still think it's going to pass, right?
Yeah, I just think there's enough of those, too many of those players that need checks right now.
Okay, let's go to Dwayne on a cell. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
All right, Dwayne.
Good. I work in HR and labor relations, and when you guys were talking about the NFLPA, you hit it right on the head. One of you guys said that it's different interests for the rank and file players and the superstars.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they call it. I learned that in graduate school. They call it the community of interest.
So it almost feels like there should be two unions, the ones of the players.
No, but that's exactly what they do. They're in different locals. They could set it up where they're in what they call a different bargaining unit or a different local under the same union. So like in the plant, UAW has everything. So the secretaries are UAWs, the janitors, maintenance crew are UAWs, the guys in the line are UAWs, but they're in different bargaining units. Different locals. So that NFLPA contract, that could be called a master agreement. And that master agreement is sitting over the whole league, but there's different supplemental agreements for the superstars than there is for the rank and file.
Makes a lot more sense. Makes a lot more sense.
What you said made sense. What you said made sense. That's how it really goes down in the real world.
I'm not mad at Russell Wilson either or Aaron Rodgers or any of these guys that are speaking on their own behalf. It's why it makes it very, very difficult position when you have so many players and such a wide variety of incomes. I mean, how can one group represent all those people?
Yeah, it's tough because it will create some division. I mean, you'll see these younger players or the players that are playing with the lower end of the payroll spectrum, and you've got some superstar player like Aaron Rodgers that comes out and says, this is a bad idea. No, absolutely. And you got other people who are like vehemently, no, 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 no. Guy who's making 500 grand a year is listening to somebody who's making north of 20 grand a year or 20 million a year.
Like 500 grand a half.
Yeah. And the guy who's making north of 20 million a year is saying, this is a terrible deal. I'm like, well, dude, easy for you to say it's a terrible deal because you're making all this money and any deal that's thrown, even this deal, is going to benefit you, but you want something else. It's not fair to us. It's so hard to try to negotiate that.
248-539-9797, Matt in St. Clair. Hi, Matt.
Hey, boys. Happy Taco Tuesday.
What's up?
Ooh, is it Taco Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Taco Tuesday.
You got
baby.
Tacos?
We just had some tacos, absolutely, for sure.
Oh, man.
Listen, I think it's great that the 65% are the $500,000, you know, minimum players, but what should happen is the top 10%, the Aaron Rodgers, the Russell Wilsons, be like, hey, great, ratify it. We're not showing up. And you want to see the product that you guys can put together without the 10% of us that actually fuel the league, that do the endorsements. Well, you're seeing it right now on Saturdays and Sundays with the XFL that's been losing viewership constantly and over to sloppy products. So that's great that you 65% want to play. But, hey, us 10%, us top earners, we're not showing up. You can ratify whatever. We're going to go on strike, and we're going to hold out for the full benefit of the union. So do whatever you want. We'll sit here, keep collecting our State Farm endorsement money because we're not going to get paid, or we're still going to get paid. You're the ones, if you guys aren't going to work for it, are the ones that aren't going to get paid.
I mean, I guess, Matt, I will tell you this. Talk about a horrific PR move. Talk about a hard thing for the public to digest. If all the best players decided this deal doesn't benefit us enough, we're walking away.
But think about all the things like lifetime health care that the players are trying to push for, and like a decriminalization of all things. Because even though that you're allowed to smoke pot now, if you test dirty, you can still play. You just don't get your game check. So what does it really matter if you can smoke weed, but you're not going to get paid to play the game that you're not suspended for? You're just not getting paid.
Right,
for
you get fined.
So you can smoke weed, get caught, lose it. You play the game, but you don't get paid for the game. So where's really the benefit? Then you're playing for free just so you can smoke weed. So like, there's so many things in the game where like the upper echelon can say, hey guys, we're going to take a stand for everything. These are the things that we, as you know, current players, former players, like guaranteed contracts, lifetime health care, full on things that is going to help the PA as a whole, from the little guy to the up guy, and say, hey, cool, you guys do whatever you want, but the top 10%, we're not coming back to work unless there's seismic changes. And if you guys want to move forward, feel free. But you're not going to have any quarterbacks in the league. You're not going to have any decent players. You're just going to have a bunch of $500,000 players, and it's not going to go anywhere unless those, because that's the commodity of the league.
There's truth in what you're saying. I think at some point, if I were in that category of players, I'd be like, okay, guys, we got to be really, really careful here, because we will become some of the most hated and vilified people in America, because we are the ones that are specifically keeping, we are the rich trying to get richer, given it's just what the owners are trying to do. But nobody's got a William Clay Ford jersey. No one's got an Arthur Blank jersey. They've got the players' jerseys. We're the ones. We're the face of this league. We're going to look awful if we do this.
And I'm sure if they were to do that, they would know the risk coming into it. But it's like, hey, a millionaire is going to sit out or a billionaire is going to sit out. And yeah, the player is more recognizable to the average Joe than an owner. And I for sure get that. That's why I go back to the beginning. Represent the entire players' union. Don't represent the majority. This is a union of everyone. Every vote counts, right? Everyone matters. Then represent the entire union.
I'm sure that's what they're trying to do. I'm sure it's what they're trying to do.
But the ones that are coming out and saying vote yes are saying this is great for the majority of players. They know this is not great for the entire union. They just keep saying the majority.
Some of them are higher income players that are okay with this.
Yeah, and they're saying this is good for the majority of the league. That doesn't necessarily mean the entire league.
The sad truth is, and I think what the players realize is that their player pool is basically endless. If you want to sit out, they'll move. There'll be more than enough players to step in and take your place, and that's why the strikes never work for the players.
That's true, but Matt brings up a great point. It turns into the XFL.
Yep.
I mean, the $500,000 player, yeah, there are more of them, but those guys don't sell the league. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, those guys sell the league.
Just remember the last time there was a work stoppage, we had some redemption stories like Shane Falco coming in and leading a ragtag bunch to a few victories. That's from Harry in Rochester.
That's right. He played really well.
I will say this, though. There can be overall negative ramifications for a league. The NHL had a work stoppage. ESPN dropped them and had all these crews hired. And what they did was they assigned those crews to college baseball and college softball. And all of a sudden, super regionals and regionals and the World Series were carried. And they realized they were getting the same ratings that they got in the NHL. And the NHL never got back on ESPN. Next thing you know, wasn't the first league TV contract they signed was with OLN?
Yeah, it became Versus and all that.
It became Versus, and then it became NBC Sports Network.
Yeah, well, the NHL is in a much better place than they were.
Well, they are now. There's no doubt about that financially.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.